Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I just thank you so much for listening today and for taking this opportunity to make your life miraculous. And today, I am honored and blessed and thrilled and delighted to have one of the miracles in my life to share with you, the Reverend Dr., the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Reverend Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker. Welcome, Terry.
Oh, Iris. Iris is the wonderful, precious, beautiful person. It's such a pleasure to be with you, Iris.
Well, thank you, Terry. And I remember when I first saw you on TV, and I really wanted to do a radio show long before I could accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was teaching, and I was teaching in my workshop by Divine Inspiration some of the exact same words you were saying on TV.
Yeah.
So we know where it comes from.
Because they weren't my words.
I know, and they weren't mine.
I know.
But you know what? They send the ones out with the balls to stay up, Terry.
Yeah.
Pardon the expression.
You're so funny.
But it's true, and you, and at that time, it didn't seem like any doors were open to me. And you were doing it on TV. I for sure didn't want to show my face saying this stuff to a whole lot of people.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, is that we a lot of times we're in hiding. I was thinking about that I'm still kind of hiding out a little bit.
Woo-hoo! You're hiding?
Still, yeah, because I don't completely reveal my spiritual life and the path that I love. And what
you
I've
mean
been,
when you're teaching or
no, I don't, because I don't want to interfere with where people are at a time in their own, you know, God is so wonderful that God God becomes in a sense what we want God to be, and that we have that there's many different levels of understanding, just like as a, you know, one of the Hermetic axioms, which teaches about the principles of life, is as above, so below. So just as in school, we go through different grades, and in each of those grades, there's different levels of learning. And when we pass that level, we get to the next level. And the same is in any kind of training that someone is doing to learn a job or anything else. They learn at the basic level, and then they get to the next level, and they get to the next level. So that's also true in spiritual life. And so that however somebody believes at one level may not be true at another level, but it's true at that level, and that's where they need to be, but that isn't the ultimate of what's possible. But yet where they are is exactly where they're supposed to be, and where they are is perfect and true for exactly that level of understanding.
Wall, my head's turning around now. I got some questions for you. Okay, so are you saying to dare, to do, to know, and to be silent, or is it hiding out?
Well, what
you
I
know,
think,
I
know.
I'm just checking. This is something I ask. You know, first of all, I don't hold anything back. I just say it. But I don't make myself available to a lot of people like you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also don't want, you see, when you speak with people, if you go outside their frame of reference, they can invalidate what you're saying because it's beyond what they understand. And it's like, I give an example in my book, Creating Your Ideal Destiny, which isn't out yet. It's finished, but not out yet. And
Creating Your Ideal Destiny.
Uh-huh. Isn't that nice?
And, woo-hoo!
And so it's like, you know, it's like we live in a box, and the box is made of our concepts. And those concepts, those ideas, those thoughts, those beliefs, some are true, some are really what we've just learned from others because it was their opinion and idea. but really isn't based on absolute truth. And yet, because we believe it, we think of it as truth. And so we live according to these concepts, morals, values, ideals. And yet, if somebody tells us something that's beyond that, we will think that what they're saying is crazy, doesn't make sense, isn't true, it's against what we have, because our finite minds can't understand infinite mind. So we have to be like spoon-fed, in a sense, higher knowledge, as it comes to, just like a child in kindergarten may not understand quantum physics, but they will when they reach that level where their intelligence has developed to be able to comprehend it.
Well, I just want to be sure that we're not talking down to people, though, because I...
Oh, no, you never can talk down to people, but it's like any great teacher... They're very humble, most teachers, and they really appreciate. But like a kindergarten teacher can't tell the kindergarten kids everything she knows because the kindergarten kids won't understand it.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking honest questions for me and my own process and experience of this.
Yeah, yeah.
When I first was hearing the truth, I believed in a lot of insurance and, all of those things. And when I first started hearing this, the illumined, enlightened truth, I felt like a sponge in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this part of me that's going, oh, this is too good to be true. This can't be the truth. This other thing is the truth. But, truthfully, I didn't want that to be the truth because I had a great teacher who said the best, if you attain the best of the world's pictures, that's still a front row seat in hell.
That's very good.
And so I wanted to go beyond the world's pictures. And I feel like people who are attracted to your work, see, Terry, you do and have shined like the sun just because you were seeking so deeply, so earnestly, so lovingly, so devoutly for what really is God, not what everybody said God is. And and I think that I yearned for that outside the box thing. I was if you'll pardon the expression, I was so effing sick of that box.
Yes.
I really was.
Right.
So I guess I'm asking, it's like, I want to hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
I know, but it's like, I also know when I go to my teachers, and there are teachers that I go to that know far more than I do, that I like to go in a humble position by not thinking I know it all, because if I think I know it all, how can I receive what they have to give me? But also that what I've learned, it doesn't mean it's wrong, but what it means is prepared me for what is now about to come. And I think this is for us to realize that here we are in the world, and the world is changing. But we live in a world of constant change because that's the nature of material energy. And people who we are, we're spiritual beings, but we're not part of this world. We're in a body, but we're not of it. We have a mind, but we're not the mind. We're not our thoughts. And so I noticed that so many people are living in anxiety and fear and have chronic fatigue, and they're fighting about money, and they're afraid they're going to lose their home, they're going to lose their car, and what is it ultimately? I'll lose my friends, or I'll be on the street, or I can't take care of my children. And then you read about some of the atrocities that are happening in the world. People are in anxiety and about these changes. And so it's like, in order for us See, the what I have found is the purpose of life is God realization, which would be, which is called absolute love. And this absolute joyful love is who we are. It's what we are. But what happens is these concepts, this the news media, the so-called leaders, the what we're learning in school, what we learn from our family members, what's made up in cultures that's different, actually keeps us so much of the time in anxiety and keeps us and is bringing forth what we call a lot of these changes that are bringing floods and earthquakes and loss of job and loss of money, but also at a higher level, it's all good and is leading to something far better than people even know. But they have to be open to this kind of knowledge to get it, and not just what happens. We tend to sit on our knowledge.
Can we back up there to something about losing your home?
Yes.
I've been through that.
Yes.
And in 1980, my husband and I had this 8 acres of horse property in a very upscale, it was worth a lot of money, and we were living there in a modular home, and horses would come up and eat my flowers, and I wanted out of there, but we had put all of our money in there, and we didn't have a down payment for another home, and we kept coming up against that and believing we couldn't have it. And so one day I came back home, and the house had burned to the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I stood on, my neighbors were crying, but I didn't experience it as a tragedy. And I said, God, why did this happen? And I heard this real humorous voice that said, you wanted to move, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it wasn't just move on the physical level. It was, I wanted to move.
Right.
And I went to work on myself. And what happened was we manifested a series of beautiful homes. We manifested buying beautiful homes that were beyond most people's, you know, even imagination.
Right.
With no down payment, and when we didn't have rent money for the last place we were in, but we had to move.
We had to move, yeah.
Yeah, we had to move on.
Uh-huh.
And so we just kept moving on to greater perfection, and I'm so glad that happened early in my life, because it gave me, I can always go back to that. We lived in places we never even would have thought of before we had our house burned down, and we had no insurance.
Right.
We thought the bank was paying it, they thought we were paying it, so then they sued us, so then we had furniture payments, house payments, and lawyer payments, and no place to live.
Right.
And we learned to manifest fast.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
See, that's the whole thing, is that I teach this course. I call it the Ultimate Prosperity Program. It's designed by God that I get to facilitate. Because I didn't make it up. And you got all these people, they can make up all these courses and all this, and you're going to take the next big real estate course, you're going to take... There's nothing wrong with those things, but what we have to understand is... That outer stuff is really not the cause of our manifestation. It is the spirit behind it. It is our consciousness that a person could take every kind of management program. They could go to Oxford. They could go to Yale and Princeton and get degrees. But what if they have a poverty consciousness inside? They're always in fear, no matter how much they have. But when a person has no spiritual economics, they have the real understanding of God, their relationship with God, how the universe works, or how God loves us, and actually that we manifest in the same way that God does. When we understand that, then we're not in fear. And what we need comes to us, and if we don't need it, it goes.
Uh-huh. And isn't that liberating?
Yes, it's liberating.
You know what I found out?
What?
I had everything that still mattered to me. I had my beautiful a wonderful prince of a husband. I
yes.
had my beautiful, darling children.
Yes.
I always had a toothbrush.
Yes.
I always had a silk blouse.
That's
I went
right.
out and bought one silk, purple, royal silk blouse and a velvet green jumper, and I felt like $1 million in it. And
exactly.
I was, you know, I had one outfit, so it was, I looked like $1 million.
$1 million in the one outfit. That's absolutely true. It was, I went last weekend up to Badger, which is by Three Rivers, California.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of the base of the sequoias and all that. It was really great swimming in a river. Now, people think, well, I just got to swim in a pool or whatever.
That's 82 degrees minimum.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought how wealthy I am with a couple of loving friends that I love and enjoy. And we're there playing in this river. And I dive right in. And then you got some younger people down the way going, oh, my gosh, she dove in the cold water. I like it. I just felt so wealthy because God's given us an abundance of everything.
And if you were a kid, you'd jump in, and that's the joy and the feeling.
That is
the
experience
of,
it.
That's what makes you shine so, Terry.
Oh,
you shine like the sun. The first time I saw you on TV,
mm-hmm.
I just recognized that in you. So I lapped up like a sponge everything you had to say, and you strengthened everything I was saying.
What you believed. Uh-huh.
Trust more in myself. Of my ability
yes.
to give because I watched you do it.
Yes.
So I
that's how we
you.
Learn. We can learn from others. We want to learn from sacred scriptures. And it's interesting. I've announced a new religion. And it's a religion. All religions have already agreed on love. They all say you're to love God and you're to love others, which is called the Golden Rule. It's taught everywhere. So we have a new religion. I'm being announced on your radio program the first time. It's called the
you
religion.
You heard it here first. Miracles happen.
Religion of love.
The religion of love.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Everybody's already agreed upon it. It's written in all their scriptures.
And that means honoring the way other people love
exactly.
God.
Exactly. How they love God. Because when I go anywhere, it doesn't matter to anybody's spiritual gathering, they're loving my God in their way.
And
there's
they
only
may
one.
Call her something different.
And loving her, yes. I'm a servant of the Divine Mother.
I am a servant of the Divine Mother.
Mm-hmm.
The Divine Mother, Father God, I am.
That's right. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking when I went camping, I wanted to share with people, is that I remember one time I did this seminar, and I told the women that came to the seminar once they were there that I was going to have a raffle for a house and that someone was going to get a house during the class. So we did like, it wasn't like really a raffle. They didn't pay anything for it, but we did a drawing.
Uh-huh.
So they put their names in, and I drew one out, and I gave the winner a tent. and it's like people are afraid of being homeless. And it was just like one time when I was living in the woods
you
and I had...
this home is being given away?
A home was being given away.
And you gave no description or...
No. And I gave her a tent.
Shall we?
but they didn't. I didn't advertise when they came to the seminar they were going to get a home or a house. It was just during the seminar.
Oh, I know exactly what you were doing. That's why I'm just saying, shall we? I left it. And so what did people do with that?
Oh, it was like, first of all, the lady was shocked. I think she thought she was going to get $120,000 house, but out of a seminar she paid $25 for it. I don't think so, but the idea is like I remember many years ago is when I moved to the woods of the Pacific Northwest. I had a log house. It's something I wanted, and God manifested for me. And I was out there, and I was thought, well, it was I hadn't lived in the woods like that before, so we thought, well, we should have a gun.
I know,
I can't believe it. So I bought I went to this local place, and I wanted a certain kind of a gun because my first husband was a gun collector, so he told me the kind of gun should I have. Well, the guy at the store decided I shouldn't have that gun, so when the gun came, it was the gun he wanted me to have. You know, it wasn't the gun I ordered. But then again, I had the gun. Now, I could shoot the gun because I'd learned how to shoot the gun. And then it made me feel comfortable, and then after a while I thought, I don't need no stinking gun.
Oh, we don't need no stinking gun.
Because the person probably grab it away from me and shoot me anyway. So it was like, if it's my time, it's my time. If it's not my time, it's not my time. And at the same time, I didn't want to have that gun energy. But it worked for me for a while. And so the idea with the tent is that when some people get afraid that they're going to be homeless, go buy a tent. And you can get one for $99 and or $120. And now, wherever you are, you can pitch a tent. And so when I went to this, I went to a chanting and singing retreat up there in Badger, and it was so terrific, and it was a camp out. So the interesting thing is I put up the tent with my friend right in where there's everybody else, and you can hear people snoring and little kids and all. It was fun. But when it was time to go, I didn't have to move no stinking furniture.
He just got up.
Got up, rolled up my house, and put it in a bag in the car.
You know what? You know,
and I was safe in the tent. I loved the tent. It was airy. I felt protected. There was all. But people even that might make them feel better to know they're not going to be homeless. They have a tent.
Well, you know, the other thing I would recommend if people are really going to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be homeless, buy a ticket to Hawaii. Don't do it in San Francisco.
No, exactly.
It's just like but you know what else?
What?
I think you also have to make a place for yourself where you know your what your deal is with God. And
exactly.
My deal is with God. I don't stay any place where they shut down room service at midnight. That's rubbing it, in my opinion. I work for God, and God will always see that I have that.
Right.
And God will always see that I have a beautiful, lavish, opulent place to live.
Yeah.
That is a sanctuary for a divine being. And
whatever you like.
Yeah, and it's not been because I was some big financial genius. It has only been because I followed the rules of prosperity. You know, I really started to tithe when I listened to your talks on tithing.
Right.
And I had read all the Catherine Ponder, and it never budged me.
Right.
And so, but I don't think anybody has to be homeless, and I had a good...
Well, we're not. See, it's just to understand... Mother Earth is our home. We have to understand that Mother Earth is our home, and we have a body that we're in, but we're not the house. We're not Mother Earth. We're not the body. We're not the house that we have. And what I've known for me, that wherever I live, it's always been the exact perfect place for me to live at that time. I remember the different homes that I've had. I've always had beautiful homes, and they've been wonderful and fun and all that, because I like a fun house, not like an ordinary house.
Me too. Playing house.
I like to go home. I like where it is, but it's different each time. And there was like times, I remember when I first moved to La Jolla, and I had the ministry in La Jolla. And every day I go, oh, thank you, God, for letting me live in La Jolla. I mean, it's called the Jewel of the Pacific. It was beautiful.
I know.
But when it was time to leave, I couldn't wait to get out of there.
That's how you know.
Yeah, I know. And the home that I had when it was time, it was like fabulous. When it was time to go, I had no attachment for it. And then another home would come that was suited me where I was now. And if people would have faith in that, but what happens is it's the lack of faith in God that makes people crazy. They're just terrorized.
It was an accident I manifested this.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of I am the creator created, and we create good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I've also, you know, I think people should look and say, see where their line is. This is my limit to how, this is the least good I would accept. It's like, I don't go any place where you can't plug in your curlers.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to England, and I'm taking my two granddaughters next week.
Yes.
And I'm speaking in Bournemouth, England, at the Center for Spiritual Living. And that first night, we're going to spend it in Camelot in a bed and breakfast.
Oh, Terry.
I know. And I'm going to give these girls, you know, a spiritual tour of England and the different things. And I forgot why I was going to tell you. You were saying something. My mind went.
I was saying I didn't stay any place where you couldn't plug in your current.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I told the girls we're not checking on any bags because this Heathrow Airport in England is notorious for losing luggage.
Forever?
Well, I don't know forever, but there was this couple months ago they lost 35,000 pieces of luggage. I'm sure you'll get it back, but I don't want my trip about where's my luggage.
Yeah.
You know, because where are they going to send it, and I got to find it, and I got to wait there. I don't care about that. But the idea is, so they can't take their curling iron. I mean, they can if they want, but everything is weight. So you have to make those decisions. And it's kind of like in life, those priorities that we have, depending on what we're going to do. So the girls, I mean, you know, so it's kind of fun getting down to two bags. What you're going to take in these two bags at a certain size and find that you have enough.
Yeah. I also had a great teacher that said to experience, cut out excess to experience enough.
Yeah. We don't. That's the thing. See, when people oftentimes have abundance, they waste what they have.
You know what else I thought of when you were talking about people living in tents?
Yeah.
I have found people that are sort of what would be called down on their luck start to really be helping each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is something I see needs to happen in the paradigm. It's like everything we do needs to help one another. It needs to be for the highest good of all life.
Yes. Needs to be kind. If we only were kind, as I work on, I have a sign. I wasn't always kind. I wasn't always nice to people because my own insecurities and my own anxieties and my own inferiority complex and the thinking, oh, they think they're better than I am, or I'm not going to let them get away with this and think they're more than I am and all this kind of stuff, and would, like, react fast. Because, like, in Vedic astrology, I'm a Scorpio. In Western astrology, my sun sign is Sagittarius. So then people would say, well, yeah, the Scorpio has this stinger. You know, it goes out and it gets you. And I used to be like that. And it would be, but it's also, they say also in Sagittarius, it's like their compliment would be, you don't sweat much for a fat girl. That would be like, that's a nice thing to say.
Total lack of tact and diplomacy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's my husband and son.
And you don't understand why they're upset. But but if anybody said it to me, I mean, once when I was like 11, I went into my aunt's house and there was people sitting all around. She said, "Oh my God, you have a bad case of pimples." I mean, I almost died. And because if we're kind, we think about how is this going to affect that other person? How are they going to feel when I say this and do this? Are you there?
Yes, and I'm thinking about that. I'm sorry.
Stop breathing. Are you breathing?
No, you asked me if I'm there. My mouth's just hanging open. I'm thinking about, for a lot of my life, I felt like I was just here to deliver the message, whether people liked it or not. Just tell the truth, and if they don't like it, move on.
Right.
But a lot of times, I've kicked people's butt.
Mm-hmm.
And people have come back 5 years later and said, you know, you taught me, I didn't listen, and one day you just kicked my ass around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said, you know, this is what you're doing, if you want it to work, don't do that, and, you know, And I told them when they have insisted on holding on to the old instead of just accepting it. And in effect, I was done with that person.
Yeah.
You know, because it was wasting my time.
Right.
So I kind of expelled them from my school of learning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And people have come back to me 5 years later and said, I didn't hear a single thing you said till you did that. Now, for me, it's been a little, if
right.
I look at how people are going to take it, I don't want to do it. But if I look at what I'm directed to do from the inside, I just do it. I just get out the sword.
Well, it's okay. I guess I because that works for you. What for me works is to, before I act, to think, in a sense. I mean, things, well, may I say?
I'm not saying that's made me happy to operate that way, Terry.
No, I know. I know, but I'm saying is if I, what may I say? Okay, we don't want to hurt people's feelings when we share the truth, even though people may get their feelings hurt only because it's their ego blocked, gets in the way, but to always be loving them, and whatever we say it from concern for their happiness and well-being. That's all.
Well, yes, and also I'm not going to hang out if they continue to hold on to playing that.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Right.
I can't. I don't want to say can't. I won't do that because it's not fun.
What isn't fun?
To hang out with people who don't want to make the changes and don't want to...
Oh, yeah. But as a teacher, that's different. See, when we have our personal life and we work with people, but it's true, I do the same thing. I have this one friend that... what may I say? She used to be my student, and then she became a friend and a student, but I also noticed that she didn't really want to continue along at the same pace that I go. So I find...
Hardly anybody does, Jerry.
So I had to realize I'm not in charge of her spiritual growth, and the way she's evolving and growing is in her time. So I don't need to put myself in a situation where I have to come to her level, because then it cheats me. So I just spend my time doing what I want, and if I see her, that's really nice and she's really sweet, but I don't spend time on a continual basis as much as I used to, because I can't grow in that situation. It would be like if you were, you know, with people who are complaining all the time. You know, always complaining about everything and how bad it is and the price of gas and the price of food. And first of all, obesity is a big problem in America, so we're eating too much anyway. It'll be a forced diet, you know. It's about the gas is too expensive. Well, what do? Well, maybe we need to walk more. Maybe we need to plan our trips more, so that we're not just out in the car all the time, or you need to make more money to be able to pay for the gas, whatever it may be, or perhaps you need to ride a horse, and you've always been wanting to ride a horse, but you never got a horse. You know, you know what I'm saying? There's always a way to deal with what's coming. But say if I didn't want to be around somebody who's complaining all the time, doesn't mean it's not okay for her to complain, but it's not my job to teach her when she didn't ask me. She's not in my class. I'm not her teacher. So in those kind of situations, like for me, I gravitate to the people who are going to inspire me, who are going to help me. And then in my classes, I'm there to help everybody to the degree they want to learn.
Well, you know, I've gotten so, I'm pretty exclusive and only work with people who are making a great contribution.
Yeah.
Because that's what inspires me. There's that willingness to move on.
Right. Well, but see, this is great because you have your radio program, and that's how you do that. Because then you get people who are making a difference.
And so much fun. All of you are.
See, and it inspires you, and they love to hang out with you, Iris.
Because and you are my real friends.
I know. And they become your real friends. They're your real friends.
Well, and, you know, that's the other thing for me, Terry, is I'm never there to hang out.
Mm-hmm. Neither am I.
And I know.
I don't waste time.
And my primary question when I get together with any of my friends is, how can we be of the greatest possible service? Like, what are the things we want to focus on? I want people to be happy. I want them to live their dreams, regardless of what seems to be going on out here.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you choose. Look at what you want. Focus on what you want. Don't worry about what the statistics say.
Mm-hmm.
And what other people are doing. I think there's still an opportunity to be the divine ideal exemplified, God's will exemplified.
We're supposed to be. Well, we're supposed to be. That's
it's
who we
are.
It's
more fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course it is. And we're supposed to be happy and prosperous and healthy. God has it all set up that way. So, but we have to align ourselves with the divine order. And then everything gets restored to its rightful position through God's grace and our use of the divine laws of life.
Hmm.
It's all available to everybody. And I think, you know, there's so much that we can focus on that we call wrong and so many problems that we can focus on. And this is what, you know, the news is so available to all of us all the time. And we think a lot of times we'll feel helpless. How can I make changes in the world? How can I help these people? And there's so much suffering, and there's also people have their own challenges that they're dealing with. And the interesting thing is that when we spend our time in some time every day in devotion, and actually we want to pray without ceasing, so that means our minds are always in the spiritual zone, that we always keep our thoughts high and thoughts of love of God and Divine Mother Father and the beauty and the love and see the God in everybody and everything, and we see this, that's all we really need to do, because when we love, we're going to love God, we're going to love others. This is our religion of love. We're naturally going to be kind. We're going to be concerned. We're going to take care of the environment. We're going to do whatever we do because we're doing it from love. And so instead of worrying about what's happening in the world, all we have to do is the right thing. And everything will then align in harmony with divine nature.
Well, also, I think two things help is to say, I am presence, God in me. Be your will through me and make me your heart, your head, your hands, your eyes.
That's very good.
And keep listening for the mm-hmm. guidance, but also do what we do to glorify our mm-hmm. I Am Presence
yes.
and the I Am Presence in all life, and just go, like when I see something about foreclosures, I call the violet flame into it,
mm-hmm.
and I call Ascend Master Intervention and into it, and what is going to be for the best and the highest
right.
for every person here. Every
right.
person.
Right.
And there has been, you know, prophesied a crash in the whole banking system.
mm-hmm.
And that isn't a bad thing.
No.
That isn't a bad thing.
No, it isn't.
And we need to learn to trust each other and work together. And
who's prophesying this?
There have just been a lot of groups that have... you know, the earth change people, the same people that said California was going to
fall.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know what's interesting, Iris? When I was on one of my trips, I saw there was a TV show on Nostradamus and some new paintings and drawings that they had found that they thought were either his or his son's, but actually explained more of his prophecy. Well, he was doing this about 500 years ago from Europe. Now, it's an interesting thing about the Western culture and the Western mind, because it was influenced a lot by Zoroaster, and also it's a lot of its focus is that human beings are basically evil. And that means that then they have to be punished. And that, and God is angry and vengeful. So we have all of this, which is not true at all, because God is good and we're part of God, so therefore we're good. And yet what we do, there's a thing called karma. What you give out, you're going to get back. What you sow, you're going to reap. So, there are those laws of nature that we have to live in harmony with if we want to have a good life. So anyway, at that same time that Nostradamus is prophesying all these things in 2012 and all this stuff and the end of the world blowing up and all this stuff, there was this, he was called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I have all these.
Mahaprabhu, what a beautiful name.
I know. It makes great master.
Woohoo!
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's about 7 feet tall, golden body. And he was in India at that same time prophesying 10,000 years of the golden age. And what he did is he brought in the chanting of the holy names of God. And every religion I've studied, they all say, sing the holy names of God. In the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, it's like, what is it that people have faith in? And so you have someone prophesying all negative things, but what he's prophesying is also what is coming from people's minds who are living in ignorance of who they truly are. And so ignorance is that disease of humankind that does not know who they are. And there's two kinds of people, spiritually awake and spiritually unconscious. And what happens is that spiritually awake means we're living in the kingdom of God. And life is beautiful. This is still the Garden of Eden. It has never changed. But with spiritually unconscious, meaning they don't know who they are, They are pleasure seekers, they all are, but they think to get the pleasure from the outer world when the pleasure comes from the inner world. Once we have pleasure, that relationship on the inner world, obviously is going to manifest in the outer world as beauty and harmony and loving relationships. That's how it works. So 500 years ago, Mahaprabhu, his name's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many, many books have been written about him. He was the most ecstatically blissful person in the history of humankind. He's really the fulfillment of Jesus' teaching as to who and what we can be. And so he chanted and people sang in the streets. Everybody wants to sing and dance and feast and be happy. This is who we are. But what happens, people are afraid to. And it's like in the middle of an earthquake, there's no law that says you have to be afraid. You could go, I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the, you know, it's like we get all terrorized. And so it's because we don't know who we are. And when we know who we are, it's like we're lifted out of miserable conditions and plopped right down in a bucket of ice cream.
Yeah, in our heart's desires.
Yeah.
You know, Carrie, I want to talk with you. This is not on the subject at
okay.
all, but maybe it is, because mm-hmm. it's for the highest good of all. I
yeah.
know you love cows.
I do.
And I know, and when you go to your teacher in India, you're
yes.
in charge of taking care of the cows.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love cows, and I've experienced little calves as they're like puppies.
Uh-huh.
They're just so sweet.
They are the sweetest.
And the other day, my son, and I have always loved cheese. I've always loved cheese. And my son, who is a vegan, brought this thing in, this flyer from PETA, and it said, in order to make milk, cows are kept pregnant all the time in the dairies.
And
they take their babies away from them.
Yes, they do.
Within one day.
Yes, they do. It's terrible.
And I know of cows who have broken through fences and run 10 miles to be reunited with their babies.
Yes.
And they love their children like we love our children.
Yes, they
and
do.
I quit eating cheese.
Yes.
I just quit eating cheese right then. I got soy cheese. It's called Follow Your Heart.
Right.
Soy cheese. It's not as good. And
But you can also get raw organic cheese from, what's it called? It's so great. Organicpastures.com. These people came to spiritual center where I like to chant and dance, and he brought a baby bull. This was a few weeks ago. I was in heaven, and I got to cuddle this baby bull, and this man, you can buy this milk, because there's all this propaganda against raw milk. It's not true. Milk is magnificent. It's a healer. And there are people who are lactose intolerant because they've been drinking pasteurized and homogenized milk. And even a lot that's called organic has been pasteurized and homogenized. It's a little bit better, but still the body can't digest it. And this organicpastures.com, you can go to their website, the cows all are in the pasture. They never have to go to the barn. He invented a portable barn that follows the cows. They never have to be chained up or tied up, and they all line up butt to butt, and they milk them from the back, and they stay with their babies all the time. They're not taken from their babies. His wife sings to them.
And what happens to the bulls when they grow up?
Well, that's the only problem there. And what happens is, the bulls, there's a number of different solutions that are important. See, bulls were meant to be oxen, to drive the carts and wagons, but they could also start generating energy, that they could be tied to a wheel, but they would only walk just, you know, a couple hours a day or an hour a day, because it's good for them and they need exercise. It could move a generator to actually store energy that people could use. But right now, that's still the big problem. Is that the bulls,
they kill the bulls and make atomic power plants.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, I've gotten where I don't want to participate in anything that hurts any part of life.
Right.
I want to participate. So,
that's why people don't need to buy leather for their cars.
I know.
And leather shoes. But then again, we're getting plastic shoes and plastic purses, and that doesn't work either. You know, I remember years ago I had a pair of hemp shoes, hemp sandals. And they were great because once your shoes are done, you just plant them in the garden.
Well, I really like the polyurethane that looks like leather.
Right.
It's beautiful. I have some gold sandals that I'd pay any amount of money for. I would have bought them at Neiman Marcus.
Right.
For $500, and I got them for $34, and no cows were hurt. And I'm just going for that. And, you know, I'm a mom, so if I have a little bull child and he grows to full...
you'd keep him.
Yes, I'd keep him, and I wouldn't let anything happen to him. And, you know, he would grow up to be a golden bull and worshipped and honored and loved. And I think all moms have... They have a right to that. Sheep moms, cow moms, cat moms, dog moms, you know, they have a right to see their children grow up and be happy.
Well, this is when I talk about be kind. Kindness is to be kind to all living entities and not cause distress. It's called love. When we really love somebody, we don't hurt them. And we're the caretakers of the wealth. And what is interesting is in the book of Genesis, it talks about how the bodies of the animals were created and, you know, all the steps of creation, which is very similar to how it teaches in the Vedas also. And here is the cow body, and then after that comes the human body, because we're not created because we're souls. We're always part of God, and we're made of Satchitananda, eternity, consciousness, and bliss. So this is who we are, and we have these human bodies, and we're here as caretakers of the wealth. And when people are eating animals, it's basically we're the babysitters eating the children.
Ew.
See, this is how disgusting it is. And then people wonder why there's all these things happening in nature. Why all of these things are happening to people is called cause and effect. Whatever you give out is going to come back. For every action, there is a reaction.
Well, you know what else? The powers of nature enforces the elements.
That's right.
Mimic our consciousness, our
right.
collective consciousness.
Right.
And there you have
exactly.
the storms and eruptions and
right.
earthquakes, but I want to go back to the earthquakes because my husband and I, our family, have always had these miracles when there were earthquakes.
Right.
And I just learned a great deal, but the thing you can do right then when an earthquake is happening is say, I am the only presence acting here. And that calls forth the good for everyone and everything. I am the only presence acting here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that if you go by an accident or if you hear from you hear any kind of, that's what to do with the things on the news. Call the violet flame in. Call the violet flame, the unfed flame, and the sevenfold flame of the seven mighty Elohim around it, over it, around it, and to close in upon it to prevent what is wrong and bring forth our I Am Presence divine desires there. See, that's what the praying ceaselessly means, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, I didn't mean to box you in there.
No,
say,
but that's true.
You agree with me, Terry?
Of course I do.
I didn't mean to do that.
That's why we like each other, right? We agree.
Well, so I think it's our responsibility as the caretakers to become aware of these things and then just like talking about the cows, I just call the violet flame in and around and through that. And I've gotten where I don't want to participate in anything that even corrals or cages any part of nature. Like, I used to buy Persian cats, and I realized that they were keeping the males in the garage in little cages.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't let them go outside, so they don't wreck their fur. You know, their job is to get ribbons in
it's cruel.
Yeah.
And see, cruelty to animals will create cruelty back on humankind. And there's different levels that we learn. And I remember when I first became a vegetarian, it wasn't because of being kind. It was because I had had a stroke 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And then I found that I had high cholesterol. So the sensible thing was to become a vegetarian. And it wasn't for a while after that when it finally, through learning more spiritual teachings, and also I became an Essene bishop. And it is said that Jesus was an Essene, and that that's a whole another interesting story. There were the writers of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nag Hammadi text that was found, and that they were vegetarians, and not just for health purposes, but for what would you say, humanitarian purposes also.
It's a mom thing with me.
Yeah. I didn't start that way.
Yeah, don't hurt my babies. I won't hurt yours.
Right. But then after a while, when we understand it's the right thing to do, we wouldn't want to hurt them just because we wouldn't want them to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I want all life to be happy.
You did what?
I want all life to be happy.
Yes.
Can anybody see a clock? What time is it, Terry?
It's time.
It is time.
7 minutes.
Tell people how they can reach you, my darling.
Oh, well, I'd love to have people come to my website, which is my name, and you have to go www.terrycolewhitaker.com. And it's TerryColeWhitaker. com. Terry with two R's and a Y, Cole, C-O-L-E, Whitaker, two T's, A-K-E-R. And it's really exciting because I have lots of wonderful courses and classes, and they get a free, when they come to the site, they get a free newsletter, and I start sending them free gifts and teachings, and I'm going to have a blog very soon. And if people know people in England, I'm going to be speaking in Bournemouth on the weekend of the 5th and 6th of July, and they can find that out by going to Center for Spiritual Living, and Center is C-E-N-T-R-E for Spiritual Living, and that's in Bournemouth, UK, England. So we're going to be doing lots of wonderful things, and the newsletter, it's chock full of great information for them, and they get free gifts, so I'd love to have them come to the website.
And speaking of free gifts, I'd love for to give 3 copies of your book, Dare to Be Great.
Okay.
To the first 3 people that email me at miracles, M-I-R-A-C-L-E-S-H-P, miracleshp@yahoo.com. That's miracleshp@yahoo.com.
I wonder if they also want, I will send free copies of a vegetarian cookbook to anybody that wants it.
Absolutely.
So can
Absolutely.
They email you about that? And
you
then...
can. I will take as many emails as you can send. And it's also the number one thing we can do for the environment. It takes so much more food and power and energy to raise animals and slaughter them than it does to take, you know, to eat vegetables. It's
right.
And, you know, if you look at all the pretty things in the supermarket, it's the beautiful vegetables and fruits. They're like looking at flowers, and they're beautiful colors. And, you know, a lot of the things we get are processed. They're brown.
Yep.
They're all brown and gray. Think about it.
Oh, wow.
Well, Terry, you certainly aren't all brown and gray. You are... You are the truth that is the light of the world, and I just thank you with all my heart. I thank you for being on. I thank all of you who are listening. And, you know, I'd like to ask people to pass this on, that people have looked at the website at BBS, and especially a lot of people are doing classes by teleconference.
Right.
And they think they can tune in to BBS Radio by calling the call-in numbers. And those are if you want to talk on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So is this 2 minutes or is this get off the air, Dawn? We got 2 minutes, Terry.
Okay.
What would you give people if you could only give them one gift?
Oh, I would say that God is right there with you, Mother, Father, God within you. It's called Paramatma, Super Soul, Holy Spirit, God within. Start talking to God, and God loves you and will answer your questions, will lead you and guide you, answer your prayers, and you start making that connection. And no matter where you are or what's happening, that help is right there where you are. You just turn there, and your life will turn around.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about chanting the names of God.
Yep.
There is a wonderful CD called 108 Names of God.
Oh, nice.
It's so beautiful, and I really recommend it. And also going someplace where you can do satsang, and you do that, right?
Yeah.
And just, it's dancing and singing the names of God, and I tell you, when you do tune in to the source of all good, you can ask for anything you want, and it shall be given. And it
wow.
doesn't matter what the outer conditions and appearances are.
Right. Right.
So keep your attention on God. Give praise, love, and gratitude that
yes.
you know her.
Yes.
And please come back here,
oh.
Terry, and you who are listening, please come back and join us. And may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Yes.
Men, women, children, and
everybody, and life is good.